Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Jean-Paul Ruiz, Director of Professional Development here at the Interest Group, and welcome to the webinar entitled Take Charge of Investments with an IRA LLC. And welcome to today's webinar. Before we get started, however, I just wanted to say that the Interest Group does not endorse or vet out any sort of investments. So in other words, even though we're providing just some insights in regards to having an LLC as an investment under an IRA, we do not endorse nor promote any sort of investment, because the Interest Group is what we call a self-directed IRA platform provider. What we do is we provide the document and the platform, a retirement platform for individuals to choose whatever they want to put under their retirement plan. But we do not provide the investment, nor do we provide investment advice. All information and materials are purely for educational purposes only. And all parties are always encouraged to seek out the assistance of their tax advisor, their legal counsel, to make sure that not only do they get accurate information, they also get a specific information regarding the investment in regards to the state that they live in, as an example, because we do not follow state law. All we give are general rules and information in regards to federal law. Again, welcome to today's webinar, and hopefully we can shed some light in regards to some of the questions that people may have in regards to this specific investment called an LLC or an entity called an LLC. Again, the agenda for today is we're going to cover the self-directed IRA basics first, because without the self-directed IRA, the benefits of tax deferment or maybe even tax-free under a retirement plan wouldn't be enjoyed. The LLC is not an IRA, but if an IRA invests in an LLC, there are advantages, and that's why we're going to be covering the basics on self-directed IRA accounts. Then we'll take a look at what is this thing called an LLC. A lot of people think that the LLC is the IRA, and that's not true. The IRA is the retirement account that is investing in an LLC, and by investing in an LLC, certain individuals or IRA holders or clients of ours have said they've received certain benefits of ease of administration, maybe savings on some record keeping fees, so on and so forth. Those are the types of things we're going to be talking about today. Well, with that said, we're going to talk about the benefits and drawbacks of investing in an LLC, because there are still rules that need to be followed when an IRA holder invests in a particular investment. There are statutory rules, but there are also rules that could cause an IRA to run afoul because of the administration that is required to follow those rules. Next, we're going to talk about the general rules about how to create and maintain an LLC. Next, we'll take a look at some of the rules associated, as mentioned earlier, in regards to not running afoul when it comes to investing in an investment. And last but not least, we'll talk about some misconceptions, and along the lines of the rules, we'll talk about the risks, and then we'll open up the phones for any questions you may have in regards to the material presented. To qualify that a little bit, Pete, you can type in your questions, and when we get to the Q&A section, we'll try to knock off as many questions as you have in regards to the material presented. Now, to set some parameters in place, I'm going to shoot for around 45 minutes to 50 minutes on the material presentation. So as I'm going along, please jot questions down, and hopefully we can answer those questions that you have in regards to the material presented. All right. A little bit about myself. I'm the Director of Professional Development here at the Entrust Group. I've over 26 years, actually longer than that now, in the retirement education arena. I've worked for two major consulting firms and Randall's consulting firms dealing with retirement plans. And now I'm with the Entrust Group and your presenter for today's webinar. About the Entrust Group, we have about $400 billion of assets under administration. And these are the assets that clients have chosen to invest under their IRAs. We have 22,000 plus active accounts, where we have some longevity in the industry because we were one of the pioneers in self-direction, which this particular type of arrangement was typically only set aside for a few people called the wealthy, because it was number one, cumbersome, and number two, very expensive. But the organization was built upon how can we make this thing available to everyone or the masses? And that's why we've been around for 40 years. And it still needs to be explained to some people because they don't understand the concept of an open architecture platform. Whereas when you go to a financial institution, typically the reason why you go to a financial institution is because they're going to offer you the investment to be held under an IRA. The Entrust Group is the opposite. We will offer you the retirement plan and you, the IRA holder, chooses the investment you would like to hold under an IRA. Then, of course, that requires a little bit of responsibility for the IRA holder to understand the rules and regulations, because that is not the role of the Entrust Group. Our role is to provide you the platform so that you can hold a particular investment that typically would not be held at other financial institutions under your retirement plan. In other words, we work the opposite. We offer the platform, you choose the investment, whereas the other institutions is you go to the IRA provider because you like their investment. Some of the things that make us different from other organizations is that you have one point of contact. You have a telephone number that you that somebody will pick up the phone, hopefully sooner in some cases than sometimes in the year. Sometimes it gets really busy, so it might take a little bit longer, but you still can talk to somebody who's either knowledgeable or may find somebody who's knowledgeable to get the answer for your question. Given the fact that you know, one of the things we have going for us has been around for a while, somebody will hopefully, you know, give you an answer or tell you that there is no answer to your question. Yeah, given the fact that self-direction is an open architecture model, also comes unanswered questions by the Internal Revenue Service. Self-directed IRAs, we have knowledgeable staff. Not only do our staff get trained internally, we also provide education for other industry providers, which some of them are our competitors. But, you know, it's knowledge is gold in this particular industry. A lot of our staff holds what we call a certified IRA services professional designation, which is a designation through the American Banking Association. We have nationwide offices, not in every state, but strategically in regions of the United States. You know, we have the East Coast, the Midwest, as well as the West Coast. We do provide in-person events and virtual webinars for individuals that are interested in gathering a group of investors or people that would like to find out more about the self-direction. Please give us a call. We'd be more than happy to participate in your efforts and educate in regards to self-direction. Our education programs are not only, again, available to our customers, our internal staff, industry professionals, but also individuals that may hold a different designation, such as certified financial planners, as well as certified public accountants. Our courses are approved for such designations, just to name a few. And last but not least, we do hold a school called the IRA Academy, and I'm the creator as well as the founder of the IRA Academy. And this IRA Academy are for retirement professionals that would like to sit for the exam, for the Certified IRA Services Professional Exam. And it's a preparatory course. It's a four-day seminar, live or streamed. We're holding it twice a year moving forward. And it helps individuals prepare for sitting for the exam called the Certified IRA Services Professional Designation. Enough said about us. Let's move on. Again, what is a self-directed IRA? As I mentioned earlier, it's a retirement account in which the individual is in charge of making all the investment decisions, because the Entrust Group does not offer investments at all. So some people say, well, self-direction is kind of dangerous. And I say, us as a self-directed administrator has no danger at all, because we don't offer any investments. It's up to the IRA holder to vet out an investment. And of course, if they don't have the expertise to do that, we highly recommend that they pull in their competent tax or legal advisor to walk them through the steps in investing in the investment that they're choosing. You know, some of the common investments include real estate, private placements, notes, liens. And in this case, in this particular seminar, some individuals would like want to invest in an entity so that they can avail of what features an entity has to make it simpler for them to invest in other things. And in this case, it's an LLC. It is provides a great opportunity for asset diversification because most providers out there in the IRA world offer your traditional types of investments, your stocks, your bonds, your mutual funds, and in some cases, even CDs or money market accounts, even though CDs are not offering a good rate of return right now. You, the investor, can actually choose a type of investment as long as it's allowable under law to hold that particular type of investment under your retirement plan. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it could be real estate, it could be gold, it could be certain precious metals that are allowable under law. It could be notes, liens, private placements, you name it. There's a broad array of investments out there that can be held under an IRA. As long as you know the rules and follow the rules, it could provide some great returns for you. And I say could because sometimes investments also could also be something that would be detrimental to the balance in your account. That's why it's good to seek the assistance of a competent tax or legal advisor to make sure that there are retirement, tax and legal professionals, and even in some cases, retirement professionals that can walk you step by step and take over what the interest group cannot provide for you. All the securities investments are held in retirement accounts administrated by a regulated custodian or trustee. The interest group is not only an administrator, we also have a separate entity, which is designed, it's by design, because the state of Tennessee, which is where what we call our trust charter, our trust company is held, wants to make sure that even though there's common ownership in the two entities, that each entity has a check and balance in regards to the activities that they're performing. The interest group, which is providing this particular webinar for you, it's a completely separate entity than our trust company. We are audited and have to follow state regulatory requirements in order for us to maintain those particular entities. And that's what we have at the interest group. All right, benefits of self-direction. In a nutshell, you can take control of what investments you want to invest in, which means you could have a more diversified portfolio because some investments that are not offered by other financial institutions could be something that you could hold under your self-directed account and enjoy the tax benefits just like any other retirement account. You know, if it's a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA, or a simple IRA, a SEP IRA, you will enjoy the same tax benefits because it's covered by the same tax law provided by Title 26 of the U.S. Tax Code. All right. Now let's get into the materials. Why are we offering this particular seminar? Because we get asked a lot of questions by clients that are, you know, hearing information from external sources or they're researching through the internet. And what we'd like to accomplish is to try to demystify certain questions that clients have in regards to holding this particular investment called an LLC under an IRA. The most common question that individuals have is that, is it legal to have an LLC investment? The answer is yes. An IRA could invest in an entity. It could invest in C-Corps. It could invest in LLCs, which, by the way, are taxed either as a sole proprietor if there's only one person or entity owning it. If there's two, it's taxed as a partnership. The only time an LLC could be taxed as a corporation is if the LLC applied for a special tax filing entity with the IRS to be taxed as a corporation. So for the most part, LLCs are an allowable investment under a retirement plan. Of course, there are some limitations to that because of some rules that we will learn later on called prohibited transaction rules, as well as other types of investments that an LLC cannot hold under that entity because it's prohibited under an IRA. Next question that we want to demystify is that why are investors using IRA LLCs to invest? Because there's some benefits to it, and we'll talk about those benefits later on. Some of the benefits are not tax benefits, but a lot of the benefits are basically administrative benefits, and as well as record keeping fee benefits. In other words, a reduction in fees, and maybe also even some liability protection as well. it doesn't mean that it removes all the liability, but it may limit the liability of the shareholders of or members, in this case, I need to use the right terminology, the members of the LLC. Do I need to establish an LLC to invest with a self-directed IRA? And the answer is no, you don't. A lot of our clients since 1975, it's been a while, some of them don't use LLCs to invest under a self-directed account. They invest directly. So in other words, if you have cash in your account as a, an IRA holder, you can direct the interest group, that's where the self-direction comes in, to purchase an investment on behalf of your IRA. Now you might ask, why can't I just purchase that directly? Because it's an IRA. The way to keep the tax deferment of a retirement plan is you have to have an arm's length transaction of the assets. Because the moment you touch the assets, the IRS calls that constructive receipt. In other words, another term for that is that you just distributed the assets. Therefore, it's no longer tax deferred. Now it becomes taxable. That's why you need the interest group to hold those assets or custody the assets, but direct the custodian to invest in whatever you want. 99% of the IRAs out in the United States are self-directed, but the self-directed world has taken on a different meaning. It means that you're investing in alternative investments. But for the most part, 99% of IRAs in the United States are self-directed. So if you go to a bank and you want to invest in a CD, you direct your bank to invest the cash that you've contributed to a CD. That's also self-direction. But the term self-directed in this industry means that you're investing in alternative investments, the non-traditional types of investments, meaning it's not stocks, it's not bonds, it's not CDs or money market accounts. But you're availing of the broader array of investments that are available to be held under a retirement plan. So to demystify that question right away, do you need an LLC to invest in a self-directed IRA? The answer is no. Then why do people do it? That's the reason why we've come up with this particular course, is to hopefully demystify a lot of those questions that individuals have. All right. First, before we get into the benefits, let's build a foundation on what is an LLC. An LLC stands for Limited Liability Company. Some people think an LLC is a corporation. It's not. They needed to take the term corporation out of there. The reason for that is because of taxation. Corporations are typically established by individuals who want to start to open up a business because the activities of that corporation may fall under a not so favorable situation. In other words, let's say a client decides to sue the business. Instead of suing the owners, they're actually suing the corporation, which basically limits the liability of the owners to the point wherein the corporation has interacted with the client. Hang on one second. We seem to be having some issues in regards to the slideshow. All right. Building a foundation again. A corporation typically, the reason why it's set up is to limit the liability of the owners for any activities that the corporation engages in. Now, keep in mind, corporations are typically taxed a lot higher than individuals or persons that file for a tax return. With the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, one of the benefits of that tax law was the fact that the highest tax rate for a corporation was around 39%, but it was lowered down to 25%. Whereas for an individual, taxation of an individual was much lower in a graduated level than a corporation. So, why a limited liability company? Here's the reason why. How would you like it if the entity that you've established to conduct business, number one, has the liability protection of a corporation? However, the income of the company is passed on to the individual to be taxed at a lower rate. Well, you get the best of both worlds. That's where the limited liability comes into play. Limited liability companies became very popular in 1977. Started in, I believe, in a state of Wyoming. they created this particular entity, which a lot of other states have created their own version, similar to the Wyoming version of what a limited liability company does. But for all intents and purposes, they work similarly, but there may just be some nuances at a state level that we may not be aware of. That's why I always defer back to individuals checking with the state in which where you would like to set up your limited liability company. In 1997, this limited liability company, this concept was created. However, in the IRA world, individuals were thinking, you know what, on another note, in other words, on another thought process, IRA holders were thinking, you know what, I would love to have an opportunity in my IRA account to be able to use the cash and invest in whatever I want without having to go through the custodian. In other words, although the assets must come back to the IRA, I'd like to be able to, as an example, buy property by just writing a check. By writing a check, I can tap into my IRA dollars and have the IRA be, you know, registered or vested underneath the LLC, which the IRA is an investor in the LLC, to be able to, you know, make the process easier and I can act quicker. Well, the entity that was perfect for that is what we call an LLC. Because keep in mind, S corporations cannot be held under an IRA because of a revenue ruling in 92. Revenue ruling 92-73 prohibits a grantor trust, which is what an IRA is, to as an investment under an IRA. And of course, corporations, which are allowable as an investment under an IRA, requires double taxation. Tax in the year that the income is received. Also, when an IRA receives a dividend, as an example, it's also taxed when the money comes out. So the LLC is actually a perfect vehicle for to be able to accomplish what individuals are wanting to do. However, we ran into prohibited transaction rules. An IRA was not designed for you to establish a business under. So in other words, the purpose of a retirement plan is not for you to open up an LLC as an example for your IRA to invest in to run your business. However, there was a court case. It's called the Swanson case. I'm just gonna speed up in a nutshell what happened. Well, the IRS argued that court case poorly. In other words, an IRA invested in an LLC wherein the IRA holder was also appointed as what we call the general manager. In other words, the one who controls the LLC. Of course, in a nutshell, when you take a look at that, it seems to be a conflict of interest. How can you invest in an entity where the IRA holder manages the entity? Couldn't that be open for possible abuse? Well, that could be. But the term possible is the thing that needs to be argued there, because you haven't abused anything unless you've actually committed the act. However, the IRS was arguing another point, which the court ruled in favor of the taxpayer to make that transaction, acceptable. But it never addressed the issue of whether or not the IRA holder could be the general manager of an LLC. Some seem to think that has been settled already, but I beg to differ, because there is no case law that basically specifically specifies that an IRA holder can be the direct officer that holds 100% of an LLC. However, since a lot of people have been doing LLCs, we need some sort of guidance from the IRS in regards to how to proceed prospectively. All right. In 2011 and 2013, there seems to be a couple of other court cases that seem to support that this is an acceptable practice. But again, it directly conflicts with the Internal Revenue Code, because the Internal Revenue Code says if you have an entity that is owned at least 50% or more by a disqualified entity, which an IRA is a disqualified entity, and if it's managed by the IRA holder, that's what we call a prohibited transaction. But, again, proceed with caution. That's why I always say check with your tax or legal advisor. which shoots us to 2021. A lot of individuals would like to set up an LLC under their IRA because of these court cases that seem to appear to have allowed this particular scenario to occur, all right? So in 2021, why would people still want to set up an LLC? Here are the benefits. Number one, they're saying that if I invest in real estate, well, if something happens with the real estate, the liability is limited to the involvement of my IRA, and they can't go after the individual's assets. There's some truth to that, all right? Checkbook control. Given the fact that an LLC is an entity, it could establish its own checking account. Of course, it has to get its own EIN number as well in order for them to set up that checking account. Don't expect for the interest group to provide you the interest group's EIN because the interest group does not own that LLC. That LLC has to be established independently as a vehicle in which the IRA is investing in. So therefore, that LLC, in some cases, depending upon the activities it engages in, may have to file a tax return. Because if an LLC engages in an activity that generates trade or business income, that LLC must file a tax return, which is passed on to the IRA. Since it's owned by a tax-exempt entity called an IRA, it may have to file a tax return called tax form 990T. The tax form 990T is filed by a tax-exempt entity, which an IRA is considered as a tax-exempt entity. Therefore, it has to have its own EIN number. That EIN could also be used to establish a checking account. Now, why is having a checking account important? Because individuals who want to move quickly, if the assets are already in the LLC funded by the IRA, then they could transact transactions quicker. So in other words, if they wanted to buy a home under the LLC, they already have the cash. By writing a check, they've completed the transaction. Keeping in mind, of course, that the LLC is owned by the IRA, so therefore any proceeds in the future must go back to the IRA. If that amount is paid to the taxpayer, there is no knowledge that the custodian, from the custodian's perspective, that assets were actually paid to an individual. Well, you may have violated some of the rules, such as tax evasion, as an example. But just keep in mind, assets under an IRA have typically receive tax deferment. In other words, you're postponing taxation on it. But the moment you receive assets directly, and the custodian doesn't know anything about that, in the event of an audit, if the IRS finds out, then it's up to the IRS to impose whatever taxation, penalties, so on and so forth that occurred in that transaction. So as you can see, even though the transactions may be faster, you need to pay attention to the activities that the LLC conducts, given the fact that it's an IRA that owns it. So therefore, whatever goes into the LLC must go back to the IRA, all right? Last but not least, it could also receive, it does receive fewer administrative fees. The administration fees on an IRA is typically done via the size of the assets or, in some cases, by the number of accounts that are being administered. The more accounts, the more work, the higher the fee. But if an IRA invests in an LLC, as an example, well, if the IRA invests in an LLC, how many assets are being record kept? Well, there's one. However, the LLC could purchase 10 investments. With that said, the IRA would only hold one investment called the LLC, therefore would reduce the amount of fees an individual would be charged in regards to record keeping fees. Now keep in mind, holding an LLC is not free in some cases. As an example, in the state of California, if you set up an LLC, you have to have a filing fee of $800 every year without even doing anything yet. So check with the state in which the LLC is going to be established on whether or not there's any filing fees or yearly annual fees that are required under establishing an LLC in that particular state. But here are the benefits again. Limited liability, checkbook control. In other words, the LLC could establish its own checking account. Faster transactions, because now the IRA holder has access to the cash, keeping in mind that whatever is purchased needs to go back to the LLC and back to the IRA eventually. And last but not least, fewer administrative fees. What are the drawbacks? As I mentioned earlier, the legality is not clearly defined. because it directly conflicts with the Internal Revenue Code. The Internal Revenue Code, again, says under Section 4975, if an IRA engages in an entity that is owned and controlled, in this case, the officer, the general manager of the IRA is the IRA holder, by a disqualified party, which the IRA holder is, it's considered a prohibited transaction. However, some law firms seem to argue that these three court cases shows that holding an LLC under an IRA should be a completely valid transaction. But again, check with your tax or legal counsel before proceeding. Again, annual costs may vary per state. Some states don't charge anything. And of course, don't ask us about which states don't charge anything because we don't deal with that realm. Check with the state in which the LLC would like to be established in. Potential additional state tax filings, because there might be some states that would require additional filings, especially if there's taxable income that is received by that LLC, even though it's owned by an IRA. All income must be redeposited back to the IRA. Again, as I gave an example, there have been some situations, because I don't just consult with the interest group, I consult with other financial institutions as well, that some assets that were held under an LLC was paid directly to the IRA holder without notifying the custodian. In the event of an audit, that individual was discovered, the auditor discovered that an amount was paid to an IRA holder directly without having that amount go back to the IRA to be paid to that IRA holder, so that what we call an IRS 1099-R needed to be issued, that IRA holder did not include that as taxable income, so they had to retroactively tax the individual as well as penalties, as well as the tax favored status of the IRA was now being scrutinized to see if there was any sort of prohibited transaction that had taken place. And there was a conflict of interest there, and I'm just going to leave it at that, you know, because it could vary from situation to situation. But the good rule of thumb is avoid prohibited transactions, which goes to the next slide. Higher potential to engage in a prohibited transaction. Some people seem to think just because you have an LLC that the LLC can hold whatever. There is still what we call the same asset rule that is under the Department of Labor. Actually, it's called the plan asset rule. Now it came back to my mind. It's called the plan asset rule. If a retirement plan owns an operating company 100%, in which what an IRA single member LLC is, that is owned by an IRA, it's owned 100% by an IRA, the Department of Labor, who enforces prohibited transaction rules in tandem with the Internal Revenue Service, says that we will disregard the entity that you've established to determine whether or not there has been prohibited transactions. Let me give you an example. Some people seem to think that, well, I'd like to invest in collectibles. Well, collectibles, of course, are prohibited under an IRA. But they said, well, I'm going to establish an LLC to invest in collectibles. The plan asset rule states that if an IRA invests in an operating company 100%, they can disregard that entity that was established and look through that entity to determine whether or not there was a prohibited transaction. Another person wanted to say, well, I'd like to establish an LLC because I'd like to do a loan to my daughter to buy a car. Well, of course, if an IRA loaned directly to a daughter, that would be a prohibited transaction. Setting up an entity will not nullify, it won't nullify the prohibited transaction rules, because that LLC would be viewed as if it was never, you know, even there, and look through that LLC to determine who the IRA engaged in. So again, those are just examples of a higher potential to engage in a prohibited transaction. Additional filings, again, assets that are received by an LLC derived from a trade or business are taxable income to the IRA, so therefore the IRA would have to file what we call an IRS Form 990-T, and IRAs are trusts, so therefore the assets in a trust are taxed at trust tax rates. So therefore, those assets are going to be taxed while it's sitting under an IRA, and when those assets come out, it's going to get taxed again. So there may be some double taxation in some cases by engaging in what we call a trade or business activity. Right. Now, some people seem to think, well, I thought this was an approved IRS investment. Well, there's no such thing. Here, what I'm showing to you is an IRS publication. If anybody ever promotes to you that, well, this is an approved IRA investment, well, there's really no such thing, because there's an IRS publication 3125. If you read the top header of that publication, it does say that the IRS does not approve IRA investments. And it provides a whole lot of stipulations that an IRA holder must consider before investing in an investment. Again, it's IRS publication 3125. Again, in a nutshell, there's a lot of things that an IRA can invest in, including investing in an LLC, of course, barring, of course, any sort of conflict of interest or prohibited transaction. There are only three different types of investments, two by law and the other one by virtue of its characteristics, that cannot be held under an IRA. Those are life insurance contracts. When I say life insurance contracts, I'm not talking about annuities. I'm talking about life insurance contracts that have what we call an endowment benefit to it. So in other words, it's all incidental. Term life is a good example, which is basically what they were trying to allude to. Imagine paying a premium of $15 a month, and then if you die, $250,000 goes into your IRA called term life. The answer is you can't have that under an IRA. Therefore, it's codified under law that life insurance is a prohibited investment to be held under an IRA. Collectibles, collectible cars, collectible rugs, because it's problematic for the custodian to value such an investment. Therefore, it was prohibited. The Small Business Job Protection Act of 1996 does allow for certain precious metals to be held under an IRA because Congress is trying to raise funds. And they wanted individuals to invest in an investment that Congress created through the U.S. Mint called American Eagles. So American gold coins, such as your gold, palladium, and silver, as an example, are allowable under an IRA. There's also a stipulation that you could hold bullion, other types of precious metals, even though it's in gold form. If it's not an American Eagle, even though it's in coin form, it's considered a bullion, but it has to meet certain fineness. In other words, it has to meet certain purity levels in order for it to be held under an IRA. But generally, collectibles are not. Collectible cars, collectible rugs, collectible wine collection. You know, a collectible rug to somebody may be a garage sale item to me, and a custodian would not know how to have that value. So therefore, it cannot be held under an IRA. And I joke around about it, so. Because what are you going to do if you hold a rug under an IRA and you want to take a distribution? What are you going to do, cut a rug? Another thing that you cannot have under an IRA, again, is what we call an S corporation. There's a revenue ruling 92-73 based out of a court case that ruled that an IRA cannot be a shareholder of an S corp. There's also another court case called Taproot versus the Commissioner. Taproot versus the commissioner that prohibits an IRA to invest in S-Corps. Now, given the fact this is an LLC course, what are the general steps in establishing an LLC? Why are we talking about an LLC? Because the LLC is a completely separate entity than the IRA. In order for the IRA to invest in the LLC must be created first. Now, it is important that it is a brand new LLC. I get this question all the time. I already have an existing LLC. Can my IRA invest in that? The answer would be, I would say 99.9% of the time, no. And here's the reason why. According to the regulations, again, under section 4975 of the code, if an entity is owned or controlled by an individual who owns at least 50% of an established entity, then that entity cannot be invested. The IRA cannot invest or interact with that entity. That is what we call a prohibited transaction, all right? Because if you own and control a company, chances are there's a high chance of you running afoul or abusing that particular relationship. So therefore, Congress put that into law, all right, in tax law. However, creating a brand new entity called an LLC means that nobody has any ownership of it. So therefore, if an IRA was going to invest in an LLC to avoid that particular violation, it always has to be a brand new LLC. But complete your legal due diligence. Review the LLC laws for the state in which that LLC will be established. Be familiar with it. Be familiar with the language that needs to be contained in the LLC, as well as certain language that needs to be incorporated in an LLC beyond the state that would avoid that LLC from engaging in prohibited transactions, such as the LLC should state that the IRA holder or the general manager should not get paid from the LLC, because getting payment from an LLC could be viewed as what we call a prohibited transaction, because you're benefiting from that LLC while the LLC is sitting under a tax-deferred account. Another thing could very common is, can the general manager, in most cases, is the IRA holder is named as general manager, can the general manager be reimbursed from expenses? Well, according to the 4975 of the code, which, by the way, feel free to Google it. As a matter of fact, the IRS has a section of their website under www.irs.gov devoted to prohibited transactions. And one of the transactions that they've outlined as prohibited is extension of credit. If the general manager, as an example, pays for a fee and in efforts to just get reimbursed by the LLC, in other words, the general manager extended credit to the investment held under a person's IRA, therefore is a violation. So those types of transactions should be prohibited from being engaged in by disqualified entities such as the IRA holder. All right. So that particular type of language needs to be vetted out and scrutinized, and what type of language needs to be under an LLC. Now, if you're going to look for those types of provisions to be held under an LLC from the interest group, that would never happen, because we do not have the license to practice law. So in other words, we would always defer back for individuals to seek out the assistance of a competent legal advisor to walk them through that process. This, again, is purely informational. This is not advice nor a recommendation. These are just the general rules that we've seen individuals go through in establishing an LLC. All right. There are key roles in establishing an LLC. Of course, there's the general manager. The manager is the person that is in charge of the administration of that LLC. There is also what we call a registered agent. Typically, it's the law firm that established the LLC or another legal counsel. They may be named by the general manager that has a brick and mortar location in which, if somebody wanted to file something against that LLC, that they would be the one to receive the information that is being mailed for that LLC, right? And last but not least, of course, there's the member or the investor, or another way to look at that is similar to what we call a shareholder. The member of the LLC will be your IRA. That's why they call it a single member LLC. There's only one member. That's the IRA that owns 100%. Of the LLC. Now, what name would you put down for the member? Well, here's an example or a recommended naming convention. Since the IRA is the one that's investing in the LLC, it'd be the interest group for the benefit of the client's name's IRA, and you might want to put down what type of IRA it is, traditional or Roth IRA, so therefore there's clarity when it's booked in our system. What if you only wanted to invest in the LLC using your Roth IRA, not your traditional IRA? Well, another safeguard for that would be the account number. Make sure that the account number is on the name so that the LLC is associated with the correct IRA. Now, again, I'm covering a lot of information, so please jot your questions down. Now, create the articles of the organization. In other words, what are the rules? Another name for this is what we call the operating agreement. The operating agreement should contain all the stipulations that I mentioned earlier in step one. You know, the general manager should not get paid, should not be able to be reimbursed. They cannot use the property. It has to be a purely arm's length transaction. Again, seek out a legal counselor that's knowledgeable about having LLCs under an IRA and work with those individuals. You know, devise an LLC name and address. If it's a single member LLC, 100% owned by the IRA, and nobody else will own any portion of that LLC. I've seen a lot of clients use the IRA's name to apply for the EIN, which is also used as the LLC's name. Depict the roles. In some cases, it might not be the IRA holder that's named as general manager, and they may hire a third party or somebody else to be the general manager, but define those roles. And last but not least, elect a future formation date. In order for a brand new LLC to be brand new, you would have to elect a future date. Kind of timing is essential. So in other words, that if an IRA is going to be investing in an LLC, it has to be a brand new LLC, or recommended will be a brand new LLC, because if it's an existing LLC, that opens up a can of worms for potential prohibited transaction violations. Operating agreement. Structure it per state requirements. State the roles and the terms of operation. And last but not least, it has to be executed by the manager of the LLC and turned into the state for approval. It has to be approved by the state. You can't just write a document and say, I have an LLC. It has to be turned into the state for approval. And once it's approved, then the LLC is there. Then it's ready for funding. If you're going to fund, of course, you're going to have some sort of vehicle for the LLC to receive the funding from the IRA. Then, therefore, the LLC would need to get an EIN number. Acquire an EIN number for the LLC using what we call the IRS form SS4. You can actually acquire an EIN electronically to a website. SS4 can be, again, the application can be done electronically. Now, when you get to the SS4 application and you do not find the entity called an IRA in the first part of the scroll down of the different entities that are stated in the first page, don't forget there is a second page. You might want to click Other, and if you click Other, you will see on the second page an IRA on the second column of the SS4 application. Once an EIN is acquired, then establish a checking account on behalf of the LLC. Now, with that said, now since all the LLC is prepared, the approved and prepared, the checking account is also established, well, then it could be funded. What does that mean? Well, the money has to go from the IRA to the LLC. So that's what we call funding, all right? Of course, in most cases, if it's 100% owned by the IRA, then it may be that the operating agreement may already state that the IRA will be the 100% investor of the LLC. But in some cases, an LLC that's created, let's say ABC LLC, it may be that the IRA is only one of the investors in that LLC. It may be that the IRA would need to receive what we call a subscription agreement. The subscription agreement defines the portion that the IRA will own in regard to that LLC. It's in other words, what's the share that the IRA owns on that LLC? All right, LLC shares and slash the members' interest in regards to that LLC. With that said, the IRA holder, who is basically directing the custodian to sign the subscription agreement, needs to approve, or in other words, needs to verify that they do approve of the language in that subscription agreement, because the interest group will not approve something on your behalf, because again, we're just a directed custodian. In other words, the subscription agreement must have some sort of indication that the IRA holder has read and approved the language on that document. Most of the time, they would put in quotation, read and approved, and then the IRA holder signs it. That gives an indication for the authorized signer, for the custodian. In other words, one of the interest group's authorized signers to sign that subscription on behalf of the IRA. Once that is done, well, then it's ready for funding. Then the assets will either be wired, or however way the IRA holder would like those assets to be sent to the checking account of that LLC, and voila, the checking account is funded, so therefore, the general manager of that LLC can start investing those assets under the LLC to whatever investment that they would like to invest in, assuming that it's allowable under law. All right. Again, sending instructions to the custodian. Custodian will be signed subscription agreement, and it will send the funds according to your instructions. The flow again is the LLC issues shares to the IRA, then the IRA in turn assigns a subscription agreement, and then the LLC bank account will then be funded. All right. Maintaining an LLC requires for the general manager to know the rules. The general manager as well as the IRA holder, because in some cases the same person does both roles, right? Follow the rules. Know the prohibited transaction rules, because the Andrus Group will have you sign a document that you will be responsible to understand the prohibited transaction rules. In other words, there can't be any self-dealing. The assets in the LLC that was funded by the IRA, any gains and losses as well as the principal, eventually need to go back to the IRA, because eventually when distributions occur, there's got to be reporting, tax reporting that has to happen. And last but not least, make sure that the LLC does have enough cash. Why is that? Because there are some expenses sometimes that LLCs may have to pay that cannot come out of the pocket of the IRA holder. I kind of alluded to this a little bit in the state of California, which is the only one that I know about, that there is a fee that has to be paid every year. I think it's around $800 to maintain an LLC in California. And those have to be paid out of the IRA/LLC. It can't be paid out of pocket because the LLC is an IRA investment. And according to the Department of Labor, any expenses that are intrinsic, to an investment. In other words, you wouldn't have this $800 fee unless you had an LLC under your IRA. So therefore, it has to come from the IRA. Has to be paid from the IRA. Can't be paid out of pocket. All right. Moving right along. Who are disqualified persons or disqualified entities that cannot engage with the LLC? Well, you, the IRA holder. Lineal ascendants, as is parents and grandparents. Lineal descendants includes the son, the daughter, grandson, granddaughter, and great-granddaughter and grandson, as well as the spouses of the lineal descendants. And that goes for corporations, partnerships, estates, and trusts. This can be found under Section 4975E2 of the Internal Revenue Code. Again, it's Internal Revenue Code 4975E2. It defines who disqualified persons are. If you have any questions on that, check with your competent tax or legal advisor if they're familiar with it. And if they are, that's the one I would go to. And also the IRS website also has, again, a section devoted to disqualified persons under the prohibited transaction section of their website. Learning the rules. Here are some prohibited transactions that are outlined under Section 4975. You cannot have a sale, exchange, or leasing between an IRA and a disqualified party. You cannot lend or extend credit. You cannot furnish goods or services or facilities. In other words, somebody asked me this question, can I mow the lawn on an investment under my IRA? I would say avoid that. Hire somebody. Hire a third party. Because the moment you provided services to that IRA, you basically artificially inflated the balance on your IRA by performing the services yourself, because you won't pay yourself anything. And as a matter of fact, if you pay yourself, that's also a prohibited transaction. So therefore, it is highly recommended to avoid those. Why? To preserve the tax-favored status of your retirement plan. Because if your retirement plan, in this case an IRA, engages in a prohibited transaction, that IRA will cease to be an IRA as of January 1st of that year. Another one would be income and assets. In other words, if you funnel income and assets to yourself in your entity by engaging in a transaction that favors you, and that could also be considered what we call a prohibited transaction. And last but not least, self-dealing. Somebody said, can I sell the property held under my IRA LLC to myself because I want to keep that property that's held under the LLC? The answer is no, you can't do that. However, you can distribute the asset in kind to you. Of course, that's going to be a taxable event. And some clients might say also, well, I don't want to have to pay tax on that. Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you want the investment, it has to be distributed because you cannot sell that to yourself. There has been also another transaction that says, well, can I sell it to my brother? They're not a disqualified party, and then I'll just buy it from my brother. That could also be viewed as what we call an indirect prohibited transaction. In other words, you're trying to sell it to a non-disqualified party to circumvent the tax law, which could also be viewed as what we call an indirect prohibited transaction, right? Debunking misconceptions. I have zero liability. That's not true, because that's why it's called a limited liability company. It limits the liability, but it doesn't eliminate all liability. All right. That's why some IRA holders to leverage that, to mitigate that, not the word leverage, to mitigate that, they also get insurance on the properties that they purchase, but it's not a recommendation. I'm just telling you what some people have done. Go seek the assistance of a tax or legal advisor to guide you appropriately in regards to your own situation. I can pay myself as management fees. The answer is no, because you're a disqualified party if you're the IRA holder. Another misconception is I can never partner with friends or family. The answer is that's not true. Because keep in mind, if you're investing in an LLC, as I gave an example earlier, it may be 100%, or the LLC may allow for other investors. That includes family members. Because keep in mind, the LLC, if it's never been funded, has no ownership at all. So in other words, for the initial funding, you could partner with friends and family. Of course, the proportionate income and expenses must also be paid by each member. In other words, you cannot pay another member's fees if you wanted to, because it has to be proportionately based on their ownership percentages. I can pay for expenses with personal savings. Again, I would avoid that, because if the expenses of an IRA are intrinsic to an investment, it has to be paid from IRA funds. Moving right along. Remember, the risk is always involved in having an LLC. If the LLC engages in a prohibited transaction, it loses its tax-qualified status. Not only will it be taxed, it could also be subject to penalties depending upon how old the person is. And poor maintenance can be very costly. So engage in people that can guide you through that. And that would not be the interest group, because we don't offer that particular service. It'd be a competent tax or legal advisor to play that particular role. All right. Alternative to LLCs, well, if you just want to have checkbook control, the interest group has what we call a My Direction card. A My Direction card is a prepaid debit card that could be pre-funded using IRA assets. Now, keep in mind, if you want a checkbook control to be able to pay for, let's say, a painter to paint the house that is owned by your IRA, but instead of having to go through the interest group and having a payment authorization letter, the check cut, so on and so forth, why not just have a debit card? We have that particular option. To find out more about the My Direction card, please give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to discuss the intricacies about having a My Direction card. What's next? Want more information about the topic? Send us information on a webinar survey or any additional topics for the matter. If there's any other topics that you'd like to receive some general education on, we'd be more than happy to pull it together or pull in an external source to give some knowledge into that. But of course, we will disclaim the heck out of it, because it's a third party coming in. Need more information on self-directed accounts and you're brand new to the interest group? Visit our website and also visit our learning center. Our learning center is a good resource, a good well of information to learn at a high level, how to invest in certain types of investments. And last but not least, please follow us on social media for any updates or any new products that we may have at the Entrust Group. Well, I've spoken for longer than what I expected, but let's still open up the phone lines for any questions you may have in regards to the materials presented. All right. I'm going to wait for a few few seconds and we are going to open up the phone lines for any questions. All right.
Thank you very much, JP. Okay, we're going to get started with Q&A, and I will read you the questions per usual.
Okay.
Starting with Teal. So I need to put crypto into my Roth. And JP, you'll see this is a pretty common one we see throughout the questions is crypto. So it's tough to find banks who give a checking account that has anything to do with crypto. So this is not exactly tied into LLC, but if you could provide any sort of answer on crypto as it relates to LLC and IRAs, and for this in particular, individual Roth.
As far as names of banks that will open up checking accounts for LLCs that invest in crypto, unfortunately, we do not have a list to provide to you. You know, again, we're just a platform provider, but there are banks out there that would establish it. Unfortunately, we just don't have a list to provide for you in regards to that question. I wish I could be more of help.
Thank you, JP. So, hello, my 401k is with my employer limited only for mutual funds. How can I use it to purchase an investment property? Thank you.
Okay. If the question was the person has an individual, but the person has a 401k plan that they participate in. I'm assuming that you're still working for your employer. The answer is you might have a hard time doing that because assets in a 401k plan are held under the trust called a 401k plan. It's a qualified plan. Unfortunately, the employer of that plan restricts the investments to whatever they allow for individuals to invest in, which are typically mutual funds, because 99.9% of 401k plans are invested in mutual funds because it's already diversified. It limits their liability as an employer when offering investments under a 401k plan. The only way you could invest in property using your assets in a 401k plan is if you have a triggering event. In other words, you have an event that would allow for you to take the money out of your 401k plan and put it in an IRA. Here are the common triggering events for a 401k plan. You quit, whether it be voluntary or involuntary. Now, keep in mind, don't take this as I'm telling you to quit, but these are the triggering events. Now, the only way you can take money out of a 401k plan. A trigger event includes, again, separation from service. You quit, whether it be voluntary or involuntary. You die. Yeah, I'm not saying that you need to die, but that's a trigger. The plan terminates. In other words, if a business closes down, the plan has to close down as well. That's also a trigger. There are also some triggers that could be a feature of the plan that is not available in all plans, but you might want to inquire with your employer. That allows for you to access certain types of dollars. Those are what we call employer dollars. Employer dollars includes profit sharing and matching contributions, as an example, or even rollover dollars that you've rolled over from another plan into this 401k plan that you have at your current employer. Those could be, first of all, rollovers can be taken out at any time. There is no trigger required for rollovers because those are your assets. However, for employer dollars, there could be a provision called an in-service distribution provision. An in-service distribution provision allows for you to take money out while you're still working if the plan has that as a feature under the 401k plan. Some in-service distribution provisions may have a stipulation that this provision only kicks in as of a certain age. Age may be 55 or 59 and a half. Those are the common ages I've seen for in-service. But again, it allows for you to access dollars that are vested employer dollars to allow for you to roll that into an IRA if that feature was allowed. The best way to find out what dollars you have access to is to speak to the plan administrator of your 401k plan. Typically, that is start off with your HR department. The HR department will tell you who administers your 401k plan to be able to tell you what you have access to. But while you're working, generally, you cannot take money out of a 401k plan and use those dollars to invest in property. All right, next question.
Thank you, JP. Cool. So these next two are very similar, have to do with funding. So how do I add funds to an LLC for repairs on real estate? And then B, can the funding of an LLC be an in-kind transfer if the IRA already owns precious metals?
Okay, I hope I got your
question. I can split those question. If you want.
Okay, let's start off with the first one.
Cool.
If an IRA owns an LLC, and let's say there's not enough cash, all right, additional funding is quite controversial in according to the code. All right, some legal firms seem to think that you can make additional fundings to an LLC that an IRA already owns. But some seem to think that it could be a violation. But lack of guidance from the IRS kind of makes it a gray area. And here's the reason why. All right, I'm pretty sure the thing that you want is the reason why. When an IRA invests in an LLC as an initial funding of 100%, well, then the entity is now owned at least 50% by a disqualified entity. To add additional dollars to that, it means you're interacting with an entity that is already owned 100% by a disqualified entity, therefore could be viewed as a prohibited transaction. The other camp to that is saying the fact that since the LLC is a part of the IRA, then there should be an allowable way to pay for the expenses held by an IRA, right? Well, I could argue both sides in all honesty, but with lacking any sort of any guidance from the Internal Revenue Service, which they try to avoid that. I cannot have a definitive answer for you. But if you do have to pay for an expense, well, one of the ways to put funding into an IRA to fund that LLC without having to sell other assets in the IRA, as an example, invested in precious metals, you know, is to either make a contribution to the IRA if you're eligible. And by the way, the age is no longer an issue when making a contribution to a traditional IRA, as an example, because the age limit before or the restriction was set of age 70 and a half has been removed from the rules to make a contribution to an IRA. You just have to have earned income to make that contribution. So that's one way. Another way to fund that IRA without having to sell the precious metals to use the cash to pay for the expenses is to transfer from other IRAs of the same type to the IRA that you have. Or self-directed IRA that you have, whether it be an Entrust or any other financial institution. So to answer both questions, number one, there is no definitive answer to your question, but I would say that if you have an expense that needs to be paid, it has to come from the IRA. That would be what I would say. To fund additional funding to an LLC, you know, that's still controversial there, but use the funds to pay for the expense using your IRA assets, all right? That's a definitive yes there. To fund it without having to sell precious metals, as an example, well, if you have other cash or assets that you can turn into cash from other institutions, that could be transferred to your self-directed IRA. It has to be the same type of IRA, though. Or you can make a contribution. You know, the maximum contribution is $6,000 if you're under the age of 50 and $7,000 if you're 50 and over. If you are over age 70 and a half or 72, you can still make a contribution as long as you have earned income. So to answer both of your questions, there it is.
Thank you, JP. Next question. Can two or more people put their IRAs in the same LLC?
The question is, can two or more IRAs be shareholders of an LLC? And the answer is yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Next question.
Very simple answer. Yeah.
Yeah, very simple. Next question. Is the LLC secure for my creditors and other businesses that I own?
The security of an LLC or the liability of an LLC is something that I will not answer in this case. I would say I will defer it to a tax or legal advisor because it depends upon the state. So the state will define what creditors can do to specific entities, and that goes beyond what we can answer for this particular course. But check with your legal advisor that is knowledgeable about state law where you're establishing your LLC.
Thank you, JP. Next question. For an LLC that is wholly owned by my interest IRA, which tax ID do I use for the LLC? I don't want to use my personal tax ID number.
Okay, that's a very common question. And I wouldn't use your own tax ID number for establishing the LLC. I did cover this in one of the slides, but you know what? I went so fast. I thank you for asking this question. If your interest IRA is 100% owner of your LLC, what some IRA holders have done is to establish an EIN number under the name of the IRA. Again, you use what we call the IRS form SS4, and the SS4 can actually be done electronically through the IRS website. In that case, the IRA knows that if the EIN is under the IRA's name for the LLC, therefore the IRS would know that only trade or business income will be taxable to that LLC. In other words, if you have an LLC that owns rental property and the only thing that the LLC receives is rent, well, then there's no taxation because rental income is not taxable to an LLC owned by an IRA. If the LLC decides to buy securities and the securities pays a dividend, interest, those are also not taxable to the LLC. Mineral rights, royalties, those are also what we call passive income that is not taxable to the LLC. However, if the LLC engages in a trade or business type of transaction, such as, let's say the LLC decides to conduct in real estate development, which is a business, that will be done, 365 days a year, and that's the business of the LLC. Then that income will be now taxable to the IRA. But at this point, if you acquired the EIN under the name of the IRA, then you're set up already to be able to use that EIN to prepare the IRS form 990T to pay the tax on that income. And of course, that 990T will be sent to the interest group and signed on behalf of your IRA by one of our authorized signer, but you would have to prepare that. So to answer your question, whose name would we use for the EIN? The EIN would be the IRA if it's 100% owned by the IRA. If it's not 100% owned by the IRA, in other words, you have other investors in there, it'd be great to acquire an EIN under the name of the LLC that you created so that other investors can invest in it. So if it's ABC LLC, then put the name of ABC LLC for that LLC and then acquire EIN for that. And of course, at the end of the year, the general manager will have to issue what we call a K-1 to each of the members of that LLC, and one of which would be the IRA. And depending upon the type of income that is being allocated to the IRA, will determine whether or not the IRA has to file a tax return. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, JP. Next question. In regards to this current line of questioning, just to make sure, can I add $7,000 in IRA contributions to Entrust each year and then have you send $7,000 to my LLC? Just confirming, that's how it works or no?
If somebody wants to add cash to their LLC as an example, yeah, that's how it would work. If you can fund it by making a contribution, or you can also fund it by transferring from another IRA. Once the assets goes into your self-directed account under the cash column, a cash portion of your account, then you issue what we call a bi-direction letter. The bi-direction letter is instructing the interest group in writing to make an additional funding to that LLC. You're correct. That's how that works. But there are forms associated with that transaction because we won't do it over the phone. It has to be done in writing so that, just in case somebody forgets, we have that form that was signed. Yes.
Thank you, JP. Next question. So we talked about being able to partner with multiple IRAs in one LLC, but can you create an IRA, can you create an IRA LLC with multiple members? If so, do all the members have to be set up within the IRA?
Okay, let me tell you how it works. If somebody wants to set up an LLC that multiple IRAs would partner, all right, you need to set up an LLC under whatever name you come up with. Of course, you have to apply for, you know, approval for that LLC under whatever name you decide to have that LLC under, because they're going to have to run through a check to make sure that that name is not taken by somebody already. And this is a brand new LLC, all right? The LLC would have to acquire its own EIN number as well, because eventually that LLC, if you're saying that multiple IRAs are going to invest in it, well, guess what? You're going to have to issue a subscription agreement to each one of the IRAs that are investing in that LLC. In other words, the LLC is a completely separate entity than your IRA. There's really no such thing as an IRA LLC. It's an IRA that's invested in an LLC. So if you have multiple IRAs investing in that LLC, let's say there's two, all right? That's multiple already, all right? Let's say 50-50, $100,000 funding, $50,000 from each IRA. Each IRA will receive a K-1 at the end of the year. So in other words, that LLC is a completely separate entity with two IRAs funding it separately, right? So therefore, each IRA will receive a subscription agreement with their ownership, their members' interest on that LLC of 50-50. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, JP. Next question. Is a public employee retirement account allowable to be moved into an LLC?
Okay, the question is a public employee retirement account allowable to be moved into an LLC? Directly to an LLC, no. To an IRA, maybe, a public employee retirement account. Some public employee retirement accounts are what we call defined benefit plans, what we call under Section 401A of the code. 401A of the code deals with what we call a qualified retirement plan, right? A qualified retirement plan can be rolled. If it's a qualified retirement plan, check with your plan administrator. If it's a defined benefit plan and it's under 401A of the code, that can be rolled into an IRA, which eventually the IRA can invest in an LLC, all right? If the public employee retirement account is not under Section 401A of the code, in other words, not a qualified retirement plan, it's some sort of a non-qualified plan, those cannot be rolled into an IRA to invest in an LLC. So the answer to your question is check with your plan administrator to see if that plan that they've created is eligible to be rolled into an IRA, because not all plans are made the same, all right? If the public employee retirement account is what we call a governmental 457B plan, well, those have been codified under law under EGTRA, the Economic Growth Tax Relief Reconciliation Act of 2001. And if that's the plan that you hold, then those can be rolled into an IRA, assuming that there's no restrictions on the investment under the what we call governmental 457B plan that you hold. So to answer your question broadly, because we don't know what type of plan it is, I would say defer back to your plan administrator to ask them, what section of the code is this plan under, and is it eligible to be rolled into an IRA? They should be able to tell you that. If you can, then you have had a trigger as an example, then roll it into an IRA, and then from there you can invest in an LLC.
Thank you, JP. And just off the top of your head, do you know, is a 403B qualified? Or for all these questions, should they ask their plan administrator?
Well, a 403B is a tax-favored plan that is allowable to be rolled into an IRA. I can definitively answer that, because under Section 408 and Section 402 of the Internal Revenue Code, those assets can be rolled into an IRA. 403Bs was created in 1978 for tax-exempt entities, as well as public entities such as a school district. Let me just give you an example. All right, couldn't come up with a term. Hospitals that are tax exempt or nonprofit hospitals, those can establish a 403B plan. But the common ones are teachers, right? Teachers retirement plans under Section 403B, as well as 403B7 was included to allow for mutual funds to be held under a 403b. But typical 403bs can only be held at an insurance company because 403bs were restricted to annuities and eventually mutual funds. If you have had a trigger in a 403b, in other words, you're 59 and a half, you've separated from service. Death, of course, is a trigger, but you don't want that to happen. Or disability. Those are some examples of triggers in a 403b plan. A 403b plan can be rolled into an IRA and start self-directing. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, JP. Next question. So this refers to the last LLC webinar we ran, and Michael Sewell, the lawyer who ran the session with us, he talked about it not being a great idea to create an LLC for an SDIRA, so self-directed IRA, that already exists with property in it. Can you comment on this, if this is a red flag still, or if this is true still?
Well, I don't know what Michael Sewell said in the particular course, but I can just only read between the lines. When an IRA has already invested in an LLC, if it exceeds 50%, that entity becomes a disqualified entity. Because again, the 4975 of the code says, if an entity is owned 50% or more by a disqualified party, all right, then it becomes a disqualified entity. So it may be that what he's saying is that instead of funding that same LLC, maybe establish another LLC that is brand new. If it's brand new, then guess what? This is what we're talking about here. Starting from scratch, then you eliminate that issue of investing in an existing LLC. As well as, separate LLCs may also provide for you separate liability protection. But then again, check with your tax or legal advisor.
Cool. Thank you, JP.
All right.
Next question. Could an existing LLC be set up to manage an SDIRA as an asset class?
Can an existing LLC be set up to manage a self-directed IRA? I don't know what the LLC would do to manage a self-directed IRA. I'm not quite getting your question. An IRA, I in IRA stands for individual. So therefore, it's always the individual that will be responsible for that self-directed account. If there are investments under the IRA that needs managing, the IRA holder could hire somebody to manage the assets underneath the self-directed account. So in other words, if you have a property, like a rental property, and you want to hire a property manager, absolutely, you could hire a property manager as long as that property manager is not a disqualified party. If, let's say, you wanted to invest in stocks and securities and you wanted to set up an LLC to own the securities, sure, you could hire a registered investment advisor, a third party, let's say, to provide investment advice. Sure, you can do that. But as far as your question, not quite clear about what the question is alluding to. But I try to give the best answer I can based on what my understanding of the question is.
Thank you, JP. They followed up to just kind of with the flip of that, which might be the actual question. Can an IRA invest into an existing LLC?
The IRA can invest into an existing LLC as long as the LLC is not a disqualified entity. Let's say there's an LLC in existence that is owned by somebody else, and they wanted to attract another investor, and let's say they wanted the IRA to invest in that LLC, or somebody has shares in an LLC that they wanted to sell, an existing LLC, a membership, and they wanted an IRA to invest in that. As long as the existing LLC is not a disqualified entity, sure. Absolutely. But if it's a disqualified entity, in other words, the LLC is owned and controlled by either the IRA or the IRA holder directly, well, then I would say check with your legal counsel, but they'll probably say the same thing. Avoid it.
Thank you, JP. Okay, next question. If I purchase a multifamily house with a checking account under my SDIRA LLC, can I pay the property tax and utilities from this checking account too?
Yes. The question is, can you pay expenses with incomes that are received from a rental property owned by an LLC, which the main contributor or the member, sole member of that LLC is an IRA, right? So these are the stipulations. The IRA invested in an LLC 100%. The LLC purchased a multifamily dwelling, you know, an apartment complex is an example. Rents are going into the LLC's checking account, and do you need to pay property taxes, let's say insurance and so on? Can it be paid from that checking account? The answer is sure, because that is an expense of an investment held under the individual's IRA. As a matter of fact, it must be. The property has to be owned by the LLC, owned by the IRA. You can't just use that same checking account to pay property taxes of a property not held under your IRA. You can't do that. That's what you call a distribution. So,
thank you, JP. Next question. The article mentions some income from an LLC that might be taxable. Can you provide an example or two of such income?
Such income would be what we call trader business income. Some IRAs that we hold at the Entrust Group, let's say, invest in a restaurant. Right? A restaurant is a trader business. An IRA may invest in a laundromat, the income being split up by the general manager allocated to the IRA using a K-1 will show up, let's say, on the column as well as the box that says trader business income. If it's trader business income, that income is taxable. There's a publication 598. Publication 598 delineates what is taxable and what isn't taxable to tax-exempt entities. That income is what we call unrelated business income tax. Others call it UBTI, others call it UBIT, unrelated business taxable income. Trade or business income is taxable to an IRA. So again, those are the two examples, a laundromat income, restaurant, you know, any entity that engages in income received as a trade or business income. Contrary to that, let's say an IRA owns rental properties. If a rental property, of course, it'll receive rent. Rent is not considered trade or business income. It's called passive income. As a matter of fact, in an individual's tax return, if this was not in an IRA, and rental income is reported on a Schedule E. Schedule E is not subject to Social Security tax, considered passive income. Passive income received by an IRA is non-taxable to the IRA when the IRA receives it, but will be taxable when those assets are distributed eventually, depending upon the type of IRA that the individual owns.
Thank you, JP. So kind of a follow-up. So even though there's not always a taxable income for LLCs, is there any advantage for filing the LLC in a state favorable to income taxes?
Is there any benefits for filing the LLC income even though the income is not taxable? The answer would be, I don't see any advantage to that. If it's not taxable, then you're not required to file.
Makes sense. Cool. Moving on to next question. So a self-directed IRA cannot own a fractional portion of real estate property, but can an IRA LLC?
Let's assume first that your first statement was correct. An IRA can own a fractional portion of a piece of property. That's what partnering is. So in other words, if an IRA partners with multiple people and they only own a fractional portion of a piece of property, that's fractional. So that could be possible. Which makes the next part of the question moot. If an IRA can invest in a fractional portion of a property, well then of course it could be done through an LLC as well.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next question. So regarding a 990T, is that filed mm-hmm. by the investor for the LLC or by the custodian of the IRA?
Well, it is prepared by the IRA holder. Article 5 of the Internal Revenue Code, that if there's any reports or filings that are required for the custodian to do their job, that has to come from the grantor of the IRA, which is the IRA holder. However, the filing must come from the custodian. So therefore, the IRA holder prepares it, whether it be they prepare it themselves or hire somebody to do that. The 990T in turn comes to the custodian, of course, verified by the IRA holder for the custodian to file that 990T on behalf of the IRA. So that's the chronological order. It's not the interest group preparing the 990T form. It's the IRA holder, but the interest group can file it on behalf of the IRA.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next question. The article mentions that a member cannot be paid directly. Are there any examples when this would be possible?
No.
Easy enough.
Keep in mind, a tax-deferred account is receiving tax deferment because the IRA holder does not have access to it. The moment you have access to any portion of that investment sitting under a tax-deferred account, it becomes taxable. Let me give you an example. Let's say somebody wants to take a loan, a personal loan, but the bank wouldn't give them a loan unless, of course, they had a collateral. According to the code, if an IRA becomes a collateral for a loan, that portion that was used as a collateral becomes taxable. Why is that? Because they couldn't have gotten the loan without the collateral. If an IRA holder gets paid directly or indirectly from assets under a retirement plan, they benefited from it. So therefore, it becomes taxable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next question. So I think I know what this is about, but so it asks, what if the IRA participant in an LLC, or what if you participate in an LLC as a limited partner? Are there any nuances to being a limited partner participant?
Okay, let's demystify something. All right. An LLC is what we call a limited liability company for liability purposes. However, the IRS was kind of scratching their head when this new entity came about. They said, well, how do we tax this entity? They said, if there's one person, we'll tax them as a self-employed individual. So therefore, the income of the LLC gets passed on to the individual and they file it under a self-employed individual. All right. In which case, if the IRA owns the LLC, they file it under the 990T form based on what was passed on to them. Right. If there's two people under an LLC, the IRS says, I don't care about the LLC. Right. I'm going to tax you as a partnership. So in other words, the income received by the partner, a limited partner in this case, receives a K-1, an IRS Form 1065. There are different types of income stated on that particular schedule. The schedule on the different incomes received will define what is taxable and what isn't taxable. So therefore, from that perspective, is there any difference? The answer is no. From a limited partnership to an LLC, if it's a partnership income, the only thing that I can tell you, the only thing that will be different is that non-trade business, trade or business income is non-taxable. In other words, passive income is not taxable, but trade or business income is taxable. That will be the only difference.
Thank you. And is that still applicable, mm-hmm. JP, with Roth? There's sometimes some confusion on tax implications from traditional to Roth when it comes to LLC.
Well, keep in mind the tax-free nature of a Roth has nothing to do with the income from investments coming into the Roth. It's upon the distribution of those particular investments at the time of distribution. So income received by investments that are coming into the Roth will be taxed the same as traditional. It's when you request a distribution from the Roth versus a traditional will be the difference in taxation. If it's a Roth, if it's qualified, then the assets are all distributed tax-free, right? So, but if it's traditional, of course, you're going to have tax on it. But incomes received by investments, if it goes into an IRA, will be treated the same.
Thank you, JP. So there was a kind of a follow-up on the partial owner question to reformulate, I think, what they were getting at. So they put, if the IRA is a partial owner, call it 22% of the LLC, where the LLC is a partial owner, 60% of a property, along with the other investors forming a TIC, buys a property with loan. LLC is live. Got it. Cool. Do you see what they're getting at?
Well, so they use the loan. So in other words, it's leveraged. Okay.
Yeah. So they're saying essentially, is the LLC not liable for the loan, but the individual gives personal guarantee? Like, does this model work?
That doesn't work. That doesn't work. If an entity gets a loan to purchase a property, if any portion of that is going to be an IRA, that loan has to be what we call a non-recourse loan. Non-recourse meaning the IRA holder personally cannot guarantee a portion of that loan. Why is that? Because you've extended credit to the IRA. So that will jeopardize the tax qualified status of a person's IRA. Because the LLC couldn't have gotten that loan without that IRA holder's credit, right? So generally, conservatively, the loan that is being acquired by that LLC, which the IRA has partial ownership, needs to be what we call a non-recourse loan. And there, that we have a list of. We have a list of non-recourse loan lenders. Yeah.
Thank you, JP. Next question. Can you invest in Bitcoin through an IRA LLC?
Well, remember, the IRS, again, does not approve or disapprove investments. The only thing the IRS says, you can't have life insurance contracts, and you cannot have collectibles, and you can't invest in an S-corp. So beyond that, if it's not stated under the code, unless the IRS comes out later on and says you can't invest in it, well, at this point, there's no prohibition. The SEC right now, Adam Mather, I mean, I can't give him his name, sorry. He's the enforcer of the SEC. They're scratching their head right now, is going, what do we do with Bitcoin? You know, cryptocurrency, how do we handle that? They're still trying to put their arms around that type of an investment. But there's no restriction at this point on investing in those types of investments under an IRA or an LLC that invests in crypto. But the issues that record keepers are getting is, how do I get a value of this thing? And is it liquid? If somebody tries to a distribution, they're asking for the custodian for a distribution, and the custodian is going, how do I get this cash back into the IRA? Those are the questions. But to answer your question, I'll just say there's no restriction. But I'm not going to say it's allowed or not allowed, because the IRS has not allowed or approved investments.
Thank you.
All right. Next question.
Mm-hmm. So this next one is a bit.
I hope this is helpful. I hope this is helpful for people. So.
Right. So the next one is kind of their experience with a question at the end. So when the attorney submitted online for a new tax ID for the LLC, it lists the LLC contact as the sole member on the printout. There seems to be no way to change this, but the manager contact is not the member. The IRA is the sole member. Are you aware of this when creating a tax ID number?
Correct. Yeah, we are aware of that, but it's not the interest group that's basically creating the LLC. So therefore, it's either the IRA holder who created the LLC or an agent that was appointed for the LLC that could be named under that particular section. Yeah, because that's not a violation. It's just that the IRA holder was the one who created this brand new LLC that has no investors. That's typically the IRA holder has. I've seen the IRA holder put down their name on that. That doesn't cause a taxable event at all, because you're creating a separate EIN for tracking purposes for that particular IRA. it's not going to be included in your own personal tax return.
Great, thank you. Next question. Mm-hmm. Which needs to be set up first, the LLC or in trust account?
It can be set up in conjunction with one another. I mean, there is no chronological order. But in order for you to invest in an LLC, you have to have a self-directed IRA. So you need to set up an IRA for sure, right? But at the same time, an LLC could be created because those two are completely separate items. There's no IRA that's an LLC because I and IRA, again, stands for individual. The LLC is not the IRA. The LLC is a completely separate entity that is being funded by an IRA. So those two could be in conjunction with one another. That's why when a lot of people create an LLC, they set it up for a future date of establishment. So that to make sure that the IRA is already established, although they're doing the paperwork at the same time. So establish at a future date so that by the time the IRA has been created, funded, then the establishment of the LLC and of course the approval from the state would also have taken place already in time for the LLC to be funded. So there's no hard, fast rule on that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right, next question. Can a husband and wife separate IRA funds in the same LLC?
In other words, can a husband and wife partner together to invest in an LLC? The answer would be sure. Yeah, you could. But be careful with the maintenance of that LLC. Reason being, if any incomes and expenses have to be proportionately paid. You know, I've seen issues where, you know, the wife's IRA did not have enough cash and there had to be a payment that needs to be made. And they said, well, can I just pay it from my husband's account? Well, no, you can't because it has to be proportionately funneled through. You know, some to avoid that, you know, in some states where there's no cost to set up an LLC, husband and wife may have just set up separate LLCs and invest in the same property. Then at least they know that, you know, if there's income coming in, it goes to each individual separate IRA or expenses paid too as well, coming from individuals' IRA. So it really depends upon how I would set up you know, I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm just telling you what people have done, but follow the guidance of your tax or legal advisor. Because eventually, if you can't do it yourself, they're going to have to do it for you. And there are costs involved in that.
Okay, next question. Can a trust be the custodian slash owner of the IRA?
No. As a matter of fact, there's a private letter ruling out there. The question was, can a trust be an owner of an IRA? Not while a person's alive. I've seen people out there go to a seminar put up by an attorney and they set up a trust and then they go, well, go to your bank, go to your IRA, change the title of your accounts and your IRA to the name of the trust. The answer is the moment you do that, the IRS says, if you change the name of that IRA to the trust name, it just became taxable because it's no longer under your name. And as a matter of fact, IRAs are non-forfeitable. Article 2 of the IRS Form 5305, which is the trust document that governs an IRA, says IRAs are non-forfeitable. By changing the name of an account, of a trust, under the name of a separate entity called a trust, then it's not I anymore. So therefore, that just caused your IRA to be taxed. However, if you wanted to name your trust as a beneficiary, sure, you could do that because that only takes effect upon the death of an IRA holder. But an IRA cannot be under the name of a trust, let's say. A trust cannot own an IRA. It can hold an inherited IRA upon the death of the IRA holder, but while the person's alive, it cannot be under the name of a trust. No.
Great. Next question. Do you have to liquidate current SDIRA investments to set up the LLC?
Do you have to liquidate? No, you don't. I mean, unless you need to. Because keep in mind, you can hold multiple investments under your self-directed account. You could have precious metals, you could own privately held stock, and it just so happens that you had extra cash that you wanted to invest in an LLC. You can do that. You can hold, you don't have to liquidate any of the other ones. Mm-hmm. You can have multiple investments underneath it, you know, then, you know, your record keeping fee just goes up. So.
Hmm. Okay, next question. Do you need a separate LLC from your Roth and traditional IRA accounts?
You don't have to have a separate LLC. A portion of it could be simultaneously funding the same LLC. Because keep in mind, again, if you're funding a brand new LLC, nobody owns it. A lot of people seem to think that if you fund it initially, at the same time, a newly formed LLC, that's not the issue. It's the subsequent funding that could be an issue. So 50% for traditional, 50% for Roth, make sure that expenses and incomes are all funneled back and forth proportionately. That's part, again, of the maintenance that gets a little tricky in these particular types of accounts. So.
Great, thank you. I already have a piece of real estate in an SDIRA. Can I change it to an LLC so that I can write checks for the property instead of paying the trust company every time a check needs to be issued?
Well, you can definitely transfer that transfer within the IRA, right? So you have multiple investments. So you can transfer that property inside your LLC if it's a brand new LLC, of course, right? Sure.
Great. Can you
cover... you can fund the LLC, whether it be in kind or in cash. I mean, there's no taxation that has never left the IRA. It's just within the umbrella of an IRA.
Mm-hmm. Great. So earlier we said that it's prohibited to be investing with anyone with a 50% ownership in a couple different examples of organizations. Can you cover that exactly? By what do you mean by anyone over 50% ownership?
50% ownership, over 50% ownership, 50 or more percent ownership typically establishes effective control. In other words, you own it and control it, even though you don't own 100% of it, right? So if an LLC is already owned and controlled at least 50% by the IRA holder, as an example, that entity just became a disqualified entity. Now, keep in mind, 50% is not the only provision that needs to be looked at to determine whether or not there's a prohibited transaction. A part of the prohibited transaction definition also says any officer of an entity could cause that transaction to be prohibited, especially if the officer had discretionary authority. In other words, they have the discretion to make decisions on behalf of that property. Imagine an IRA investing in a property where an individual is directing everything in that particular account. There could be a room for abuse or possibly, you know, conflict of interest. That's why Congress put in that particular provision under tax law, is to avoid the conflict of interest situations where an individual is investing in something that they had control over, because they could possibly do things that might detriment the tax favored status of their account. But in single member LLCs, keep in mind, who's the only member? Well, it's the IRA. Well, some people seem to think that they can wash their hands and they have no control over that IRA. The Department of Labor says, time out, I beg to differ with you. Who directs the transactions on that LLC? Well, my IRA. Well, who's the IRA? Well, it's you. That's why the IRA holder is a disqualified entity. You know, there's just semantics on the naming but doesn't eliminate the responsibility of the IRA holder.
Great. Next question. So regarding distributions, once all the LLC assets have been transferred back to the IRA and the IRA mm-hmm. holder requests a distribution, how long does that generally take? Are there any nuances about that distribution process you would like them to know about?
If you have liquidity, if you have cash coming from that LLC back to the IRA, that could be processed right away as long as the cash is available. What does that mean? Given the fact that the cash is coming from the checking account of that LLC, we typically have a 5-day hold on checks. Why is that? Because we've gotten burned before. When the check comes in, The IRA holder wanted the cash right away. We processed the distribution. The check eventually bounced. However, although we do have a five-day policy, we could watch to make sure that once that check clears, if it's before 5 days, we could possibly release the funds as soon as possible so that the distribution could take place. So it really depends. But generally, it takes 5 to 7 days to process the distribution if the money comes in via check. However, in some cases, from the checking account, it could be wired to the interest group. If it's wired to the interest group and those funds are available right away, then a distribution should be processed fairly quickly, within 24 to 72 hours, if that's what you're asking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. All right, next question. So if I receive the rental income to my self-directed IRA LLC checking account, could I transfer it to my other rollover IRA accounts directly, or do I have to transfer it to my entrust account first, then to my other rollover IRA account?
I would transfer it. I would move it first to the entrust group because everything has to go through the entrust group as your custodian. Yeah. Because if it doesn't go to the entrust group, we have no record of it, and we will never post something that we don't have any record of. So if you want it to be accounted for and the IRS not to question that transaction that you did, I would move it back to the entrust group first. Because we do have auditors too. And if they go, why are you posting something that you never received? Then that would be a derogatory mark on us. That's why we don't post anything that we don't have any record of. So that's a common mistake, by the way. Just because they have a checking account, they have a license to write checks, it doesn't mean you have to bypass the custodian. It's a privilege to be able to do that. So.
Great, next question. So I am 100% owner of my LLC and 100% owner of my IRA. I want to use the LLC solely for transactional investment purposes, so to speed it up, to put money back into the IRA. So essentially, I just want to write checks with that. Can I do this?
Yeah, as long as it's under the name of the LLC and as long as it's under the name of the LLC's checking account. Yeah, that's what it's for, is to be able to conduct transactions faster. Yeah. So it's essentially the LLC owning the investments that you're investing in to keep it tax deferred. It has to go back to the LLC and back to the IRA.
Great. Thank you. All right. Next question. So we've talked a bit about crypto, but this is specific to the My Direction card. So I just want to clear this up. Can I use the My Direction card to buy crypto with my Roth IRA?
Well, the My Direction card is not intended for that. The My Direction card is just basically intended to pay for expenses, so on and so forth. But if you do want to buy crypto with your My Direction card, that could become problematic because the ownership of that crypto needs to be placed under the umbrella of something, right? We cannot hold crypto because we do not have access or there's no access point for us as a custodian to that cryptocurrency. That's why most individuals would set up a limited liability company to be able to purchase that so that the IRA can actually fund the LLC. So again, the My Direction card was not intended for that because of that very purpose, because of that very reason. We don't have access to cryptocurrency. If you do set up an LLC and you want to purchase cryptocurrency, sure, you can fund the LLC, use the checking account, the LLC to buy cryptocurrency. So to us, the only investment that you have is the LLC. Whatever you have underneath it, it's between you and the IRS and the Department of Labor. So to answer your question, it may be practically prohibitive to use My Direction card to buy a cryptocurrency.
Okay, thank you. Next question. Can you comment on using this SDIRA/LLC combo for real estate rehab models like BRRR? It's a B-R-R-R-R. I'm not familiar with that example, but maybe you are.
I'm not familiar with it, yeah.
Is this too complex or cumbersome for multiple properties, is what they're getting at?
Well, I wouldn't say using an LLC to buy property to rehab would be cumbersome because essentially you would be the one doing the administration on that. The thing you might want to watch out for is the activities of the LLC, whether or not the IRS will determine those activities to be a trade or business activity, or it's just you know, it's just a passive investment that an individual is investing in occasionally. Let me explain that a step further. If the IRS sees that that LLC is actually engaging in an activity that you're doing on a regular basis, as if that's your business, they could say, the time out here. You're running a business under an IRA. You're not just setting up an entity to passively invest in investment properties here or there. You're really doing this 24/7, and this is the actual business that you have. If it's that, then now it could be the income from that could be categorized as a trade or business income. That will be something to discuss with your tax advisor. All right. But if you're buying property, like, you know, you bought one property this year and it just so happens that you made money on it, you flipped it, and then you don't do anything for 6 months and you decide to do it again next year. So in other words, it's not your business. It's not what you do on a day-to-day basis. Well, then that would still be considered as passive income. Could be considered as passive income. But again, if you're talking about multiple properties and they're saying, well, time out, you know. In the past, I've heard from tax advisors say, don't do more than five of this in a year. Okay, I don't know where that five came from, but that could be the threshold that determines whether or not multiple transactions could be crossing the line of a, you know, trade or business income opposed to passive income. That might be something to discuss with your tax advisor. Again, the cumbersome part of it, as long as you know, you're the one's going to keep track of the expenses on each one, so on and so forth. That's really up to, you know, some people might say, oh, that's not a big deal. Some people will say, well, that's a headache. Well, you know, it's all preference, you know. All right, next question.
Okay. Is there any insight on holding real estate in either an SDIRA versus a newly established LLC holding this investment? Essentially, is a...
Are there any nuances by buying a piece of real estate directly with your self-directed IRA in comparison to setting up an LLC, funding the LLC, and then purchasing real estate? Well, the answer is, well, it's if you set up an LLC and you wanted to purchase real estate, you're on your own. You'll have to contact the escrow company, work all that out, make sure that the vesting of the property is vested property, because if that property was vested under your name, well, guess what? A distribution just occurred, right? But buying property directly with your self-directed account using the infrastructure that we have at the Entrust Group will make sure that that transaction, that error does not happen, because now the vesting of the property will be held under the name of your IRA instead of your LLC, you see. So the nuances are, you know, you'll have an infrastructure to support you, whereas in an LLC, we won't support you because that's a completely separate entity. Now, here's the big difference too. If you wanted to put earnest money on a piece of property, it has to come from your IRA. Well, you have to contact us so we can send the earnest money, whereas in an LLC, you can just cut a check. You know, the quickness of funding the investment would be determined upon the connection or communication with our infrastructure to fund an investment if a piece of property is being purchased directly by your IRA. Whereas in an LLC, that's completely your control, because the assets are in your LLC. So the nuances are, you know, one you have support, the other one you don't. But for the LLC, you have control over the cash, whereas you have to request the cash from the Entrust Group. So those are the differences.
All right, next question.
Hope that answered your question. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What if I'm retired and want to use my deferred taxable account to purchase rental property? Must I pay taxes upon withdrawal? Can I get around this?
What deferred account is that? What type of account is it?
I'm not sure. They just say, want to use my deferred taxable account. Lisa, if you have a follow-up to specify, I'll look out for that. Until then, I will just move to the next question.
When you say deferred taxable account, are you talking about a Roth? Are you talking about after-tax dollars from a plan? What is it? Because that will determine for us whether or not it's even eligible to roll over into an IRA. So, and then from there, once it's we've determined if it's rollable to an IRA, then we can answer that question more specifically.
Oh, it's a 457K.
Oh, 457B plan.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, must be.
They put the K is the cash or deferred.
Okay, yeah.
The K is the cash or deferred portion.
Thank you, Lisa.
What is it?
They confirmed you're right. It's a 457B plan.
If it's a governmental 457B plan, it's for a governmental entity. They deserve to have a 401k plan too. So in 2001, with the passage of EGTRA, 457B plans, which could not have been rolled anywhere else, are now allowed to roll into an IRA, and treated similar to your 401k plan or 403B plan. So those assets can be rolled into an IRA, and then from there you can self-direct. Absolutely, as long as you have a trigger, a distributable event. The only way you can find that out is talk to your plan administrator. If you're still working, chances are you may not be able to have access to it. But if you're retired, which you said, then you should have access to that and to roll it into an IRA, barring, of course, any restrictions on the investments under a 457B plan. You should be able to, by statute, roll that into an IRA and then self-direct from there.
Great, thank you. Next question. Once you reach RMD age, how does one figure out how much to distribute annually?
Oh, once a person reaches the RMD age, if you are a customer of the NTrust group, by January 31st of a particular year, you have to take out a required minimum distribution. We will send out a statement. It may be incorporated with what you call your fair market value statement, and that should include the amount you have to distribute for the particular year. So we will provide that to you, or give us a call, and we should be able to calculate the RMD as long as we have the data. In other words, if you had an IRA someplace else and you transferred it to the NTrust group mid-year, we won't have the data to calculate the RMD. But if you are with the NTrust group and we have the data, we are required by law to provide you an amount or offer to calculate your required minimum distribution for you. So that's a service that we provide.
Great, next question. So I have an IRA LLC that is invested in real estate and I'm now receiving rental income. Can I use this rental income in my LLC checking account and invest in other investments such as crypto using Coinbase or other entities? So essentially, once you start getting that inflow or that income flow in the LLC, can I reinvest that into other investment types?
Absolutely. Yes.
Cool.
Absolutely. That's a common question, actually. I had a client that bought two houses and they didn't know what to do with the rental income. I said, well, buy another property. I can? Of course you can. I mean, it's your IRA. That's the point is to be able to grow your wealth under. It's not a get rich quick scheme, you know. But yeah, if you can buy another piece of property, you can knock yourself out. Yeah. As a matter of fact, they ask, well, I don't have enough money. Well, then that's where the non-recourse loan comes in. If you don't have enough money, your IRA could actually borrow using a non-recourse loan to acquire that property. And eventually, as you pay off the loan, then that property will be your IRA's property 100%. Never have to file a tax return on it again. And, you know, depending upon whether or not it's traditional or Roth, will determine upon distribution whether or not it's going to get taxed or not taxed. Absolutely. That's what it's for.
All right, next question. In regards to investing with a promissory note in LLCs, who can you have a promissory note agreement with? How long do they take to write up? Is it costly?
That we don't write a promissory note, nor do we charge for creating a promissory note. So I'm gonna off the bat can't answer that question for you. Remember, we're just the platform. We have the document and the custody services and administration services for the account. To write up a promissory note, it may be something that you might want to inquire a legal counsel to draft for you. You know, start with your a title company or escrow company that may be able to draft something like that for you. But as far as who you can loan to, well, as long as they're not a disqualified party. In other words, they're not a lineal ascendant or lineal descendant. As long as you're not creating the promissory note to another disqualified entity. In other words, an entity that is owned 50%, at least 50% by a disqualified party. Those are the general rules. Section 4975E2, again, section Internal Revenue Code 4975E in parentheses, little e, 2, defines who's a disqualified entity. From there, if they're not one of those, yeah, you can write up a note to anybody as long as they're not a disqualified entity. How many more questions, Andrew? We're approaching 1 o'clock. So.
Right. So let me see here. We have about 1 second. Honestly, roughly around 20 more questions. So I don't know if we'll be able to get to all 20 since we're already at over 2 hours in the session. But I can absolutely, for anybody still on the line, your question will be answered absolutely by JP. If not in this session, I will compile them all, get them answered by JP, and reach out to you individually. So please know that your time is not wasted here and we will get to your question. But JP, do you have a couple more minutes to answer a few more?
Yes, absolutely. I just want to be sensitive to the time of people. So.
Of course, of course. Yeah, so we'll get through another five or so here, and then I will get the rest answered offline. And again, I will follow up for anybody that did not get your question answered here in the session. Thank you very much for hanging out for more than two hours with us today.
Oh, no worries. I thank you for everybody's patience. You know, we're just trying
likewise,
to.
Thank you, everybody. All right.
Get through, yeah.
I'll move forward here with the final few questions. So here I have, my IRA formed an LLC and owns a rental home. If the LLC sells the home and proceeds go back from the sale to the IRA, is it subject to capital gain tax?
The answer is it depends. It depends upon whether or not the LLC had to borrow money. If the LLC did not have to borrow money, no capital gains. I repeat. If the LLC purchased the property outright 100% and the LLC sold the property, no capital gains. That's the beautiful thing about a retirement plan. However, if the LLC used a non-recourse loan, the percentage of the split between what was borrowed and what was not borrowed will determine whether or not the portion could be subject to tax. But if it was purchased outright, whether it be through an LLC or directly through an IRA, if it's 100% purchased by the IRA, the sale of the property, there's no capital gains.
Okay, thank you.
All right, next question.
Mm-hmm. So I think, let me know if this makes sense to you, JP. So this gentleman asks, how does the LLC maintain an investment that is made by the LLC? For instance, if the LLC has transferred funds from an SDIRA to the LLC and the LLC buys stock of another company, is this held by the LLC or is it required that the stock be held by the SDIRA?
Well, it's held by the LLC, but the proceeds eventually, once the stock is sold, needs to be moved back to the IRA. Because keep in mind, the LLC is just an entity that is external from the IRA that an individual creates. They don't have to create it, right? But if they do that, well, the LLC will be the one owning the investments, but needs to funnel it back to its members. In this case, there's only one member. So it needs to go back to the IRA. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Let me find a good one here. Can an investor purchase mutual funds or ETFs at Entrust with funds that are currently earning no interest?
Unfortunately, we do not have a platform to be able to invest in mutual funds or ETFs as we speak. We are working on something like that. so that the cash portion of an individual's account would have an available investment, right? Unfortunately, that's not something that we offer as we speak. That's why, for the most part, some people say, well, do I need to transfer all of my IRAs to the interest group to invest in self-direction? I said, no, just transfer the portion that you need to be able to facilitate the transaction that you wanted to invest in that's not available someplace else, and then keep the other cash that you have in another financial institution so that it remains invested. Eventually, if you need money, you can always transfer more. Or you can transfer back to that other financial institution once you've sold the property and you don't have anything to invest in the meantime. So with that said, that's one of the things that we're trying to come up with so that you, the investors, will have something else to invest in while you're waiting for that next big real estate investment, as an example.
Thank you. Okay, we'll do three more questions here, JP. So one is, does it matter what state the LLC is located in? Can I locate it outside of California to avoid the high California tax rates?
That's something that you're going to have to discuss with your legal counsel. If you live in California, I don't know if you can establish it someplace else. That's not something that I could answer. I would love to know what the response is, but you know, I would ask your legal counsel. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, we'll do two more. One is, did you say that the LLC cannot lend money and earn interest? If so, why?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that the IRA cannot loan money and earn interest. What we said is you cannot loan to a disqualified entity or disqualified party. Yeah, your IRA can loan money out and earn interest. That's what a note is. So.
Okay. All right, final question here, JP. Is there a maximum number of IRA partners that can be in the LLC?
No. As long as they're not disqualified parties that could potentially violate. You can even have disqualified entities as long as it doesn't violate the thresholds, right? You know, I've seen LLCs with 20 partners in there, and some of them are family members, only 1 or 2 or 3%, and the general manager is a completely third party. That doesn't violate anything.
Yeah. Awesome.
As a matter of fact, that's a good way to invest. I mean, some people don't have enough money in their IRA, so they look for other investors. That's a good way to leverage your money to make more money. Is by, you know, by partnerships. That's why partnerships are created all the time by entrepreneurs. Sure.
Great. Thank you very much, JP. So just to everybody here in the audience, thank you so much for hanging with us for this long. If your question has not been answered, please know that I will follow up with JP to get those answered personally, and I will follow up with you with a direct email with each of your questions and the answer. Again, for anybody curious, we are going to be sending out the audio and video recording along with the presentation PDF of everything you've seen today. We will post that in our Learning Center later today and also send out an email with a follow-up with everything I've just mentioned to all registrants. So everyone here on the call will receive that by end of day tomorrow. But if you want to check it out later, I'll be posting it to our Learning Center. Thank you very much. And JP, if you could please close us out.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for attending this course, and thank you for your patience. There's quite a number of questions. I wish I could have answered all of them with the amount of time that we have. I hope to see you again or hear from you again in attending one of our courses in the future. And please give us feedback in regards to what types of topics you would like for us to cover, whether it be myself or we may have to bring in another expert to talk about the topics that you folks are needing. We thank you for your continued business with the Entrust Group and looking forward to serving you in the future. Have a great day.